Welcome to Off the Cut, a podcast where we talk about building, making,
and answering all of your questions.
I'm Eric from Spensley Design Co.
And I'm Zach from Zach Builds. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on air, you can send it to offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find both of us on YouTube, Instagram, and unfortunately, because we have to keep up with kids, you can find us on TikTok too.
All right, now let's get into the show.
Welcome to Off the Cut episode 90. We're up in up. My gosh, there we go.
You're rusty. Give yourself a break.
I was out a week.
Start again.
We're up here. Why does it say? Oh, I think. Oh my God. All right, we're up.
You
adjusted.
Yeah, okay. I did.
We're up in. I got to edit it. Up in Toronto and here in Ohio. Today is known as Tuesday, November 14th, 2023. And on this day in history, the Green Tutors podcast, the worst woodworking podcast in our space, available on Apple and Spotify, stole $5,000 worth of Ryobi tools from a local Home Depot in an attempt to resell them on Craigslist in an attempt to actually have something interesting to talk about. But you know who doesn't have to rely on theft to get great tools out to the community?
KM Tools, baby.
Yeah. KM Tools. And that's because they think woodworking should be accessible to everyone, and the company was made by woodworkers for woodworkers, which means unlike all the BS that Drew Witt tries to sell you on his YouTube channel, KM Tools only provides high-quality tools at great prices. Wait, hold on. This can't be right. Did you see this email from Jonathan?
No, I don't think so. Did it just come in?
Mr. Katzmoses of KM Tools just came in hot off the press. They're having the biggest sale of all time. Yeah, hold up. Unlike all those greedy corporate bastards that only run a one-day sale, he is running a week-long Black Friday sale from Monday, November 20th to Monday, November 27th.
He's going to put himself right out of business.
Yeah, he's got something in the works, I'm telling you. So he's going to have tools like dovetail jigs, dado blade sets, table saw blades, router bits, hand tools, sandpapers, and if I'm correct, stop blocks, which I don't think have ever been on sale, are up to 75% off.
Damn. His stop blocks are like very reasonably priced already, aren't they? Yeah.
Right.
I don't want to speak out of turn, but they're not. I don't want to say a price in case I'm wrong, but I remember looking at KM Tools and being, that stop block is surprisingly affordable.
Right. So if that's not good enough, Jonathan's running a tool giveaway where anyone who shops from KMTools.com during the sale gets a chance to win one of three epic prizes. And I don't want to ruin his surprise. So go to KMTools.com for more details and score some epic tools at epic discounts.
How much do you think the new router plane is going to be once the sale hits?
Oh. Well, I hate to tell you, I already looked. It's on his website right now. It's like $200 and something, which is not bad.
Yeah.
I actually gave it to Miranda. I told her nothing about it. I go, open this box and check it out and tell me what you think this thing is worth. She's like, I don't know, like $600-700. I was like, no, it's like $2.25.
Oh, man. It just looks expensive. Just having that on your workbench makes you look like a serious woodworker.
Right. And it's got the name Pro in it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is far from what I'd consider myself.
Does he make a hack model or a DIY amateur model?
That's what we need.
Yeah, that's what I need.
I've never woodworked in my life model. But you know who else isn't hacks? Our patrons.
Our lovely, lovely patrons.
Including our newest patron, David Perkins, which, David, I want to personally apologize because I was out last week and Zach... I should complain to Scott, who was my fill-in.
That's true.
Scott didn't do my Patreon read. So, David, thank you so much for being a new patron. And of course, we have our returning top tier patrons, Gary Furness, Chris from Black Forest Creations, Josh at Freedom Workshop, Brooke Appler at Grizzly Bear Woodworks, Dadu, Luke Schmidt, Corey Duvall, Jason Price, Priceless Pro Designs, Scott Eastman at EC's Woodshop. Oh my gosh, sorry, I hiccuped. And the Power Cocker, formerly known as Wes Willard at Willard Furniture. But we got some exciting news about Patreon.
I know, right? I'm just looking at it right now. You got it all set up and ready to go for the
at home. I updated Patreon today with something that we've been kind of working on the past few weeks, but we wanted to iron out the details. Basically, patrons, all the stuff that we just changed is staying, and we're adding even more. So what the biggest pull to Patreon right now is, you know, you get access to the after show. You get some, help me out here. I'm blanking on it.
You get the, okay. So you get, you get the after show, whole other podcast. You, depending on what tier you're in, you get access to the Discord server. You get, we're going to do a monthly hangout where everybody brings their own cameras, a discount at some point for our merch store once we get that up and running. Right. What else do we have in the...
There's all kinds of other perks.
There's like priority questions for the after show, I think. Yeah. Or did we get rid of that?
I don't remember. It's on there. Yeah. But I think what's really going to excite people is we have a brand new perk.
Yeah.
Because Jonathan wants to help everybody out. His whole thing is about helping woodworkers out. He says that every single month, not just one month, he is going to be giving away a $50 gift card to patrons. Mm-hmm. And the way it works is the amount of money that you pledge each month is the number of tickets you get entered. So if you're on the lowest tier, which is $3 a month, where you get access to, you know, four after shows a month and all this other cool stuff, you get three entries. If you're a top tier patron, you get that amount of entries. So basically, the more you support us, the higher likelihood you have of getting the gift card. Yeah. And to be completely honest with you, you could basically make money by becoming a patron.
I mean, yeah, if you compute the expected value of being a patron, it's, you know, if you're in that $3 tier, you might actually come out ahead at the end of the
right.
Yeah.
Right. So let me ask you this. How do you feel about multiple winners? So like, let's say, you know, Gary Furness wins month one. And he also wins month two.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. And also, like, some of our big donors are going to have a better chance.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. How should we handle that? Maybe we'll put it up to the patrons to
maybe
kind of weigh in on it a little bit. Maybe it's, like, maybe it's capped at, like, maybe win twice a year or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We can figure out that detail. I mean, Derek said like maybe you like put him on the bench for 6 months or something like that. But
yeah,
I don't know. We're gonna do it randomly. It's gonna be one of those random things. I mean,
yeah,
whoever wins. Like we'll do it live on the show.
It's gonna look suspicious when Sophie keeps winning over and over again every month.
Or Suman. Yeah, Suman. He wants to know what's the tier that gets him a hot date with you two. Well, Suman, we'll take you out to dinner if you go to WorkbenchCon.
That's true. That's true.
Speaking of Gary Furness, he's we stole him from the green suiters, and
I know
pretty jealous about that.
I know.
Did he disable his green suiters patronage?
He should.
And Eric, you haven't even said the best part about, well, not the best part, but it's not. It's yet another perk for patrons.
Oh, yeah. I know. You're absolutely right. So if that $50 gift card every single month doesn't get you excited, I got something that's going to excite you even more. Because Jonathan wants to make the, you know, the sponsorship both ways. He wants to support us, but he also wants to support the community. To celebrate the first month of the partnership, he is giving away a KM17 Pro router plane which is a $230 value. So whoever wins the giveaway the first month, which we'll do it at the end of November, will get not only the $50 gift card to KM Tools, but the $230 router plane.
Ooh.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all. I mean, that ain't bad. Like to win that.
Right. And you could pick up a lot of good stuff from his store. So
yeah.
Huge shout out to Jonathan for wanting to support everybody. And if you want to sign up for any of that stuff, just head over to patreon.com/offthecutpodcast. Again, the biggest draw. Well, now the biggest draw is probably the giveaway. It used to be the after show and live chats charming with us, hosts. But yeah, the charming host. But yeah, he's the one supporting us and all of you patrons, so we appreciate it. And
yes, we did.
Well,
so are we going to do that as one drawing for the
yeah, make it big first month.
First make month is person, big,
not two.
Yeah, no, do
first,
one.
One person, man, they're going to get the jackpot.
One person. One person's going to
$280 worth of stuff for potentially pledging $3 as a patron. Yeah. Like, that's a pretty good gig. It's not bad. It's not bad. Yeah. Oh,
well, okay. That was a long intro.
I know. I'm back.
You're back. Yeah. So tell us about your trip.
So
explain to the good people at home why you didn't grace them with your presence last week.
Well, we went. Yeah. Well, I was actually on the podcast last week. I just sounded different and I lived in Toronto and my name was Scott Walsh. No, but big shout out to Scott Walsh for filling in. I listened to the podcast earlier today. Did a great job. You guys were funny. So I went down to St. Croix for a week vacation, did some scuba diving and everything went well. It was our first time in the ocean. Had no issues.
Did you see any cool fish?
Oh, dude, too many.
Yeah.
That was the biggest problem is like you'd be down there and you'd be like, oh my gosh, look at that. And then you're like overstimulated. Then you look at something else. You're like, oh, look at that one. Like that one's so cool. And it's I definitely get why people get addicted to it. So the first dive we went on was what they called the pier. So there's like a big, like several hundred foot long pier, which is where like all these like freighters basically dock. And that's how they get all the supplies to the island.
Okay.
So on days when the freighter isn't there, which I think it comes once a week or something like that, you can jump in the water and it's probably about 30 feet deep. And they just have these massive cement pillars that go from the bottom of the ocean up to hold it, and around it, like all of them are just covered with ridiculous amounts of like neon coral and stuff like that.
Really? Oh, cool. Yeah.
But you could spend an hour just looking at one of these pillars. So we kind of like figure eight, zigzag through all of them, and then we saw an octopus, and like our dive master was like trying to like pick up the octopus and get it to like crawl up his arm and stuff. He got it about to his wrist. And then the octopus just like flew away and it instantly changed color to like camouflage itself, which is really neat.
If you've ever seen a chameleon change color, an octopus makes it look like like the worst camouflage in the world. Right. Octopus is so fast and it's almost instantaneous and it like matches its surface perfectly. It's pretty crazy.
Dude, it was crazy. So then we were like, okay. This octopus, like that's going to be the coolest thing we see on the dive. Then we start seeing these stingrays that are like, going over the sand. They do this thing where they kind of like flap themselves on the sand, like kick sand up. And I guess like try to kick up fish and debris and whatnot to eat. So that was super cool. And then we see in the distance, we see this massive turtle. I mean, this thing has got to be 36 inches in diameter.
Wow.
Just a behemoth. And it's there like gnawing on grass and eating. And I was probably 3 feet away from this thing. And it's crazy. Seeing turtles like that and like right in front of you is nuts.
Yeah.
And then we saw other turtles where like they were like hiding underneath, debris in the ocean. And it looks like they're stuck and trapped. But our dive master is like, hey, just so you know, if you see a turtle down there, it's not stuck. What they do is they like bury themselves underneath like you know, just ocean debris, and then they like massage themselves on it. So it looks like a turtle's like dancing underwater.
Oh, crazy.
Huh. Yeah. It was pretty nuts. And then we went on a couple other dives the next day, and it was enough for, I mean, Miranda was, you know, very worried about going diving because of all the tooth issues that she had.
But right. Yeah, true. How was she?
She was good.
Okay.
No issues.
Good.
She loved it enough that she was like, "You think you want to maybe go on some more dives while we're here?" So that was a good, that was good feedback. We ended up not.
Oh, okay. How many did you do total?
We did three total dives.
That's a lot.
Right. We were exhausted. Especially like our first time being in the ocean, right?
Yeah, you probably spent more time below the surface of the water than you did above on the island.
It felt like it. I mean, we got there, we got there Saturday and we left Saturday. So we dove Monday, Tuesday, and then we did like a sailboat trip to this like other island that was maybe like an hour away. That's like uninhabited, but they have like this underwater national park.
Yeah.
Which was pretty neat.
That's
but
awesome.
Snorkeling in that water was rough. Like it was, you were getting thrown around. They required everybody to wear a life jacket. We're like, this is silly. But as soon as we got in the water, we're like, okay.
Oh, that makes sense.
I get it. But that was neat because when we came back from that, the sailboat docked at this like private beach, and we walked like this little path into the trees, and it opened up, and they had this whole like barbecue thing set up for us. So they like cooked us food, and they had like cocktails and stuff like that. And it was a lot of fun. So if anybody ever goes to St. Croix, the Buck Island trip.
Buck Island.
It was really cool. It was a lot of fun.
I did something similar when I was in St. Martin. All these islands, they always have like little day trip thing, day trips you can do. You get on a boat, they take you to another island, and it's like you just get there and it's, you know, yeah, it's a big party on the other side or something like that. Makes me really envious of the people who live on these islands.
Yeah, I know.
Seems like a great lifestyle.
Did you say it was your first time in the ocean?
First time scuba diving in the ocean.
Scuba diving, okay.
I should say, yeah. No, I've like jumped in the ocean, like rode the waves and stuff, but I've only scuba dived in a pool and then a quarry in Ohio, which isn't super thrilling. But apparently it's like the best quarry in the U.S., which makes me question all the other quarries.
I hear the quarries are good for diving when you're landlocked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So I just looked up St. Croix. St. Croix is a U.S. Virgin Island. So was it technically you don't need a passport to go there?
Correct. Yeah. That's why we went, because Manny doesn't have a passport.
Okay. What about going to Puerto Rico? Do you need a passport for Puerto Rico?
No, because we flew into Puerto Rico.
Okay. Oh, cool. I've wanted to go to Puerto Rico for a while. I've heard it's a cool place.
I think my sister went there and said that she enjoyed it, but yeah, I don't remember. It was... So, overall review of St. Croix. Diving was awesome.
Uh-huh.
The island itself is like, it's pretty big and pretty spread out.
Okay.
And you'll go through like a quarter mile stretch of road where you're like, oh, this is like a U.S. highway. This is, you know, it's really nice. And it's all two lane roads there.
Yeah.
And then you'll be on the same road a quarter mile later. And it's like, I have to go to the opposite side of the road because the potholes are so bad. It's like driving through Michigan, basically.
Yeah. So it's still kind of on the developing side.
Yeah. And the beaches are like very short. So it'll be like 10, 15 feet of sand and then just like hard drop off into the water. So if you're looking for like long sprawling beaches, it's not really the place to go. I mean, it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong, but it's, I don't think I'm going to be like just really clamoring to go back like next year or anything like that.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. Look here. I'm seeing Buck Island on Google Maps. I went to Aruba, which is like long white sand beaches for a long time. And you know what? When you're there, it's actually kind of boring.
Huh.
You're like, you're on this beach and it's just beach chairs as far as the eye can see in either direction. And you're like, it's not that much here. Whereas I went to, like I was saying, St. Martin and also, what was the other? Not Bonaire. Starts with a C. Anyways, very short beaches, like what you're saying. And they were all mountains and stuff like that. But they were really interesting because there's like, you know, there'd be like caves on one side to explore and cliffs on the other side. And there was probably like 20 different beaches on this little island. And so I just went and spent like an hour and a half at each one. So it was a little bit more interesting than Aruba, I found.
Were the beaches really secluded? Like when you go on a beach and there's like maybe another couple there or something like that?
Sometimes some of them were like there'd be maybe 100 people there, and other ones you'd go and there'd be a dozen people there. And some we went and there'd just be a couple other people. It was Curacao was the name of the other island.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The St. Croix, the beaches were pretty empty, which was nice. Like you go out there and be like, there's no one here.
Yeah.
But
it's that time of year.
Yeah, exactly. I know it's the off season and stuff too, but I'll give you one more story and then we'll move on. The last day we were going to go to this restaurant that was like a half hour away. And we're like, well, why don't we find a beach that's like right there? We can hang out at the beach and then people can just like, you know, towel off, change their clothes in their car and then go out to dinner or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we go check out this beach. It's one of those where like it gets like the water's kind of shallow, deep, and then like it's shallow again and then deep again. So we like go out there and then it's, you know, you swim out to the point where you have to stand up again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the three of us had like, you know, just kept going. We were all good. And then we kind of turned around and we noticed that one of the guys had like headed back in. We didn't really think anything of it. And then we kept swimming out a little bit. And then we saw somebody like waving to us at the, or like some of the other people in our group waving to us at the beach. So we just waved back. I mean,
yeah.
Didn't think anything of it. So we were out in the ocean for a while. And then finally we come back in. And they're like, guys, Jay's hurt. And we're like, okay. We're like, what happened? And then he's like sitting on the ground, like holding his foot. And it looked like somebody took a tattoo gun and just went buzz, 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 buzz all over his foot. He stepped in on a sea urchin.
Oh, no.
And we counted like 25 plus spines that went into his foot.
Oh, poor dude.
Oh, and dude, you can't get those out.
Really? Do they have like little hooks on the end?
Yeah.
They're barbed.
They have little barbs. Oh. So if you try to like get tweezers and pull them out, they just snap.
Oh.
So or they end up going in deeper. Well, we went and bought a bunch of vinegar. Because apparently vinegar like dissolves them or something like that.
That is the last thing you would want to put on a bunch of small puncture wounds.
And to make it worse, it was his birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, so birthday. That's how we ended the trip. It was a rainy day that we're like, screw it. We're going to the beach anyway.
Yeah.
And
next year,
sea urchin.
Next year, you should get him a pair of water shoes as a gift.
That's what we say. But during that whole time, I kind of took a break from everything. Obviously, you're on vacation.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Our agent Mark texts me and he's like, hey, this, you know, this other brand wants to do something for some YouTube videos. And I was like, yeah, sure, great, no problem. Me not really looking at it that closely. In my head, I have one lined up for November 27th. And then December 14th, and then December 27th. And I was like, okay, no problem, right? A couple weeks in between. When I got back, one of the girls on Mark's team sent me over like the brief and like, here's what you need to do. Here's all this stuff. And I looked at it. I had signed up for two videos on 11/27 and one on 12/14. So I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I was like, oh God, I'm going to be busy. And I was like, is there any way we can like cancel this? And they're like, well, I mean, yeah, but this is a brand that like we've worked with for a long period of time. And like, we have such a good rapport with them. And like, you know, they want to book multiple videos and stuff like that. They're like, you can do it, but I think it's really going to shoot you in the foot.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to try to do is I already sent one video out for approval this morning. I'm going to try to basically publish that video as soon as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
So like maybe I put it out on like Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then I'll put the next video out on the 27th, which gives you kind of like, you know, like a week or so in between them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little faster than I wanted to put out, but I haven't put out a video in 3 months. So it's about time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
It's going to be the first one's going to be the outdoor bench that I made out of steel. Yeah. I think that's a pretty neat one.
Yeah, me too.
People find it interesting. It's got plans to go along with it.
Perfect, perfect.
The next one I'm going to do is I'm going to try my hand.
Come on, media console.
No, the media console is not coming out. Because I have to turn something around so quickly.
Yeah,
I'm going to try one of these like 10 tools I regret not buying earlier thing.
Those videos always seem to do well.
I know. And I was talking to Matt from NWA Woodworks about it. So I just texted him. I was like, hey, dude, congrats on the last video. And so we kind of got talking about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give one of these a shot. It's going to be right Christmas, Black Friday time.
True. True.
Let's, you know, cut the BS. The entire reason that YouTubers do those videos is for affiliates.
Yes.
So I just got a new affiliate sign up with like the TSO products, which they have a bunch of cool stuff.
What's TSO? I'm not familiar.
They make some really interesting track saw stuff.
Oh, okay.
And they have a couple other brands on their website. But so I got hooked up with them.
Interesting.
I'm going to show some. I've had a lot of their tools for a while and I love them. I didn't even know they had an affiliate program.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anybody else mention their affiliate program before.
Yeah, so this was the first one that I literally had to do an interview. It was like an hour and a half long interview about like,
wow.
So it must be somewhat exclusive or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, but sounds like.
Yeah, so I'm gonna do one of those like 10 tools I wish I bought earlier videos. I mean, to be completely honest with you, it's because I need. Suman says I'm gonna do 10 tools that don't even exist yet.
That would be 10 tools that I wish existed might actually be a kind of fun video.
I know. I'm telling you, I want a hammer drill. And what I mean by that is a drill that you can use as a hammer.
A hammer, yeah, like a little plate on the back, right?
Because we've all done the thing where you take the battery pack and you hit it and you're like, yeah. Oh my god, am I gonna explode this battery?
Bad idea, I don't care.
But so yeah, that video is going to come out. The sponsor for that one is one of those portable battery things.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the way I'm going to position it, because the brief for that, like I don't have to say like anything specific. They just want me to talk about the battery for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to position it as a tool.
Yeah, true. The battery backup, because you were blowing the circuit constantly.
Right.
I like it. Yeah.
And I'm just going to move on. I'm not even going to be like, this video is sponsored by whatever. I think people get the idea. Like, it's pretty obvious, but.
Yeah. I had people on my latest video, the Nintendo 64 one that I put out, I had a bunch of people complaining, like, oh, this is like obviously a sponsored video. And I'm like, yeah, it says sponsored video in like several different points throughout
it.
It's like, and they're like, I don't know. They were acting like I didn't disclose it, which I thought was really weird because it says, like I said, in several different points, like this is sponsored video. So,
who was the sponsor for that video?
Hey Gears, the company that makes the 3D printer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, of course it was sponsored and like it, you watch the video in the top corner and says this was a sponsored video and stuff.
Yeah.
And people just like to complain.
Yeah, it's true. People do like to complain.
I mean, it's not like this is new. Sponsors and videos have been around for 10 years.
Yeah.
If not longer,
especially when you're first starting out as a channel, like it's really the only way to bring revenue in. So,
oh yeah,
what do you want creators to do? If they want, you know, if you want to keep watching free videos constantly, there's got to be some give and take.
Right. They want to watch all this stuff for free and they want you to spend thousands of dollars creating this stuff so they can watch it for free without any ads or YouTube ads.
Yeah. Eric, you should do it for the love of the game.
Yeah. Right.
You know, just the love of making videos for people to watch.
I mean, I do enjoy making the videos, but let's be 100% honest. The reason you got into it was, huh, I can make money doing something I love.
Yeah, cool. Exactly. Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's shallow to admit.
I mean, well, this is this interesting thing that always happens, you know, as, you know, when you're in a field like this and you're getting paid to, I don't know, create, I hate using the term like art, but it is, we like, it is a type of art, I guess, in a weird way. People like think you shouldn't do it for money. It's like, oh, you're selling out. But it's like, well, doesn't everybody sell out constantly when they go to work in an office for a company that they don't really care about, or
right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. It seems like a silly distinction. Like, does it, where do you draw the line at selling out? Anybody who gets money for doing anything?
I think there are two camps of this. I think one camp is people get upset, and I'm saying this not to try to be arrogant. I think you'll understand what I mean by this. People get upset when they see other people succeed.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You know what I mean? So like, you see your favorite musician sign some huge record deal and you're like, oh man, they sold out. It's like, no, they're crushing it right now.
Yeah.
And they just signed some huge record deal. You know, they're going to get all this extra promotion. They're going to continue on with their music career and stuff like that. But I think you also have people that kind of tangentially to that get upset because they're upset with what they're doing. Maybe mm-hmm. they hate mm-hmm. their job. And when they see someone else have a job that they love, it's like a, it's like a conflict, like an inner conflict for themselves, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I don't know.
No, I think that's a good point. I mean, one thing that I've learned is that, you know, when you're putting yourself out there publicly, you're like a lightning rod. You become like a character in somebody else's movie, and whatever they're saying to you is actually like more of an internal expression about what's going on in their own life than it is about, you know, what you're actually doing. Right. So, yeah, I think what you're saying ties nicely into that.
I mean, there's some people that just want absolutely everything in their life for free. I mean, let's be honest with this. Derek, you're probably the same. Zach, I know you were the same back when we were in elementary school. The thought of paying to download music was blasphemy, right? You use LimeWire.
Yeah.
You guys both use LimeWire?
Music, yeah, of course. Music, video games, movies. Right. Like, the idea of paying for any of that stuff was completely foreign to me until like 5 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, well, even
my elementary experience was a little different.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't rip music?
No, I was in elementary before music was rippable. There wasn't even, I don't even think you had MP3s back then.
Well, I mean elementary school, I mean, I guess I was in sixth grade when the first iPod came out. But I get like burned CDs and stuff.
Yeah.
But that still might have been like almost middle school.
I remember Napster. I was on the original Napster before it got shut down.
Yeah.
I remember sitting there, and this is going to date me, but sitting in front of the radio as a kid, listening to the radio, waiting for the song, and you hit record.
I did that a couple times.
The old school way of doing it. Yeah,
I did that. I did the same thing with the.
Chimed in the chat saying he did the same thing. He ripped off the radio.
I did the same thing with the VHS player recording stuff off the TV.
Yeah, get that 1 week of HBO for free. You record everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I had all the Disney Channel original movies.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah.
The worst part about recording I guess it's okay with HBO, but recording other TV shows off the cable or the antenna or whatever was that every time you watched it, you then had to watch the same commercials or fast forward through them.
Well, good time, well, the only thing I have to add to that is, Derek, did you know that Keith Johnson used to record Seinfeld episodes on tape so that when he was driving, he could listen to the Seinfeld episodes.
Really? Wow.
That's pretty funny. I thought you guys would think that was funny. But
have you ever seen the people driving in traffic with their phone in the dash watching something while they're driving?
Yeah, yeah. They put like right where their speedometer is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow. Uh-huh. I never do that. A lot of the time, though, I will just listen to YouTube videos like podcasts. So I'll start the video playing and I'll just toss it on the seat next to me and just listen to it.
Why don't you pull up one of my longest YouTube videos and just do that?
I know. I should. I should.
Well, what have you been up to, Zach? What'd you do while I was gone besides hang out with Scott
for a little bit? Yeah, I don't know. I've been working on some 3D printing projects.
Wrong pipe. Sorry.
I finally brought my K1 Max back. So I put my K1 Max 3D printer in the shop.
Is that what I have?
Yeah, that's the same one you have. But I needed it because I needed the extra volume that has over my other 3D printer. So I brought it back home and I've been running it continuously for the last little bit.
Okay, what's your, now that you've gotten like more reps in it, give me your honest feedback, because I'm comparing, you could give me a turd and I could be like, oh yeah, this is not bad, because I have nothing to compare it to.
Honestly, I think it's a great 3D printer. I've been really happy with it. It's more consistent, I've found, in delivering quality prints than even my Bamboo Lab X1 Carbons, which are supposed to be like the gold standard for like easy to use 3D printers.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So are you using the Creality Slicer with this?
I'm using the Creality Slicer, and I'm also using their first party filaments. So it's all dialed in, but again, like the results and the quality have been really good.
My prints are excellent out of the Creality thing, but the one I can't dial in, and maybe I'm just not educated enough, I've tried to do research on it and it frustrates me to no end, is the supports are too difficult to take off.
Oh, interesting, because I found that the supports are quite easy to take off on my Creality versus my Bamboo Lab ones.
Are you using like the Hyper PLA stuff?
Using the Hyper PLA in normal mode.
Okay.
And then I basically just use the default settings for support.
Huh. Hold on. Stand by. Hold on.
He's pulling out his, I don't know, is he pulling out his other laptop?
No. So I've been testing just a couple random shapes just to try to like dial in settings and stuff. So this is just a very organic shape, right? For people at home, it kind of looks like a mustache. Right?
I was going to say shoehorn almost, but yeah.
So like the tops and sides of it look great, but the bottom looks like absolute hell.
Oh, because that's where your supports are.
That's where the supports are. So like I've tried so many different settings and I like can't get the supports to come off cleanly, or you get like these really weird like artifacts. So like there it comes in. There's like a huge mesh grid and it is impossible to get that out. I've even tried to chisel and I can't get it off.
Really? Okay. So there's something, there's like a distance that you're supposed to have between your supports and your actual print. And I think you might want to play with that distance a little bit. I think it's called the Z distance in the settings.
Yeah.
So I'm running 0.3 right now, I think. So maybe.
Is that like a default setting?
I think so. Maybe I tweaked it and just kind of forgot about it, but I'm pretty sure that's just the default setting.
Okay.
So you're essentially printing hovering above your supports?
And then So basically what it's doing is it's pulling the next layer up just a fraction of a millimeter, and it still ends up sitting on the support. But because the hot end dispenses it a little bit above it, it has a chance to cool before it touches the support. And thus it doesn't have like a perfectly tight bond, I guess. So like I don't know. Can you see this very?
Yeah. So that's that the Xbox case or whatever.
This is for the PS2 that I'm working on.
PS2.
So, like, these were all supported. All this was supported. But, like, all of these are, like, really clean. Like, I can run my finger along them, and there's nothing. Like, when I got this, I just pushed. Oop. Jesus. I just pushed here with my thumb, and the support popped out as a single piece. And I, you know, I took a blade over it and, like, got a couple little tiny artifacts that were on there, but they just popped right off. No problem.
Okay. Yeah. I'll tell you what. I'm writing myself a note. I'm going to text you tomorrow. Okay. And just send me a screenshot of the, like, yeah, the settings that you're using. Because if we have the same printer, we're using the same filament.
Everything's the same across the board.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Text. So, okay, go ahead.
One problem that I did run into with it recently was I tried switching out to a bigger head. So with 3D printers, the standard size right now is kind of 0.4 millimeters. And okay, I tried swapping to a 0.8 millimeter head, which basically just lays down a thicker line of plastic and therefore allows you to print a lot faster at the cost of resolution.
Okay.
But my print turned out pretty horribly when I used this. So I got a 0.8 millimeter, which is twice the size of the default one. And I got that for it. And my print turned out horribly after running it like that. So I know I had to dial in the settings there. So that's my one complaint with that machine.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, honestly, other than the support things, like if I'm printing just something that doesn't need support,
yeah,
I'm thrilled by that machine.
One feature that Creality lacks that Bamboo has, like looking at that piece that you just printed, you could have rotated that 90 degrees.
I know, but that wasn't the point. I was trying to dial in. I was trying to dial in
the supports
because I was printing things just like simple like boxes or something like that. Sure. And that had like a little groove on the bottom and even just like a small groove. It just got totally effed up.
Huh. I wish I had like a freshly printed piece with me so that I could show you how easy the remove on mine.
I mean, it's enough for like on this little mustache piece that I got. I literally had to get a chisel under there and like pry it.
That's crazy. No, they should just, you should be able to just hold it with your hand and pull it off.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'll text you tomorrow and you can send me over the settings or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. But yeah, outside of that, I don't know. I haven't been, this has been my most ambitious 3D modeling project. So
yeah,
I've been just spending a lot of time in Fusion getting this all dialed in.
Whew. Well, you said that the PS2 was like the most popular game console of all time, right?
Yes. So I had such a good response with my N64 video. I was like, okay, I got to follow it up. And I was thinking PS2, most popular system of all time. A lot of people are going to have nostalgia around the system. A lot of people are going to be interested in seeing how you can update it for 2023. So I was like, okay, I had a bunch of other projects scheduled. I actually shelved them all so that I could work on this and try and get it done before the Christmas season is gone. Yeah.
So what other kind of projects you got on the shelf?
Well, I have my air quality meter. That's all done and shot.
Yeah.
I have my upfiring speakers. That's all. Bryson's actually working on that right now, so that might still come out.
Okay.
What else do I have on the go? I was going to do a custom Dreamcast, the Sega Dreamcast, but I shelved that in place of the PS2 because I was like, well, not many people bought the Dreamcast. So I don't know if that's going to be the most popular video in the world.
Have you considered doing one of these videos and then giving it away?
Yeah, I have actually. I think might be a weird copyright issue in there somewhere. I wouldn't be too worried about that. I'm more worried about just the fake Telegram scams that come with doing giveaways.
So I'm going to do one in my like 10 tools video.
Okay.
And the very beginning, I'm like, I'm going to say like, you know, this is the tool, whatever, whatever, whatever. Oh, by the way, if you pay, not if you stay till the end, at some point in the video, I'm going to tell you how you can get one of these for free. And I'm going to do it at like the 65, maybe 85% of the way through the video. I'm just going to say, hey, down in the description, there's a link that says ostrich feathers. If you click on that, you can be entered to win, whatever this tool is.
Yeah.
And that is where you're going to hear from me. You're not going to hear from me in the comments. You're going to go to this. It's randomly drawn. So yeah. Like maybe you could do something like that where you don't anywhere write like giveaway or anything.
Yeah.
You well, just like, the call the link ostrich feathers.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. In my Christmas video that I did last year where I gave away all the DeWalt tools, I gave away a laser level at the end of it. And I didn't say giveaway anywhere in the description of the video. At least I don't think I did. And I only said giveaway, like I'm going to give this away to one lucky person at like the 90% mark in the video.
Okay.
And I still got just absolutely blasted with these scammers trying to tell people they won laptops and all sorts of other stuff.
I, you know how in like the comment section on for anybody else, as when we load videos on to YouTube, we have like a backend area. We can go into like a settings thing and like basically ban specific words. So if you want to ban like
that's a good idea.
Sucks or something that's like that. That's a good idea. Can you ban Telegram?
I should.
Oh, I'm going to see if I can do it right now.
Yeah.
I just thought about that. Okay.
Yeah, that's a really good idea,
actually. I go to YouTube Studio, which is like a back-end thing. Oh, I just got accepted for thumbnail test and compare.
Oh, really? Very cool. Yeah.
It says thumbnail test and compare is here. You have early access to YouTube's new thumbnail testing feature.
Crazy.
Interesting. So I'll activate it, but honestly, I'm probably still going to use TubeBuddy. Okay.
Yeah.
And I hit settings, and then I think community, automated filters, blocked words. Okay. TLEGRAM, right?
Yep.
Are there any other words you can think of that I should block?
Giveaway.
Yeah, giveaway is probably a good one.
But what about if somebody says thank you for doing this giveaway?
I don't care. I also have links blocked, so nobody can leave
a link. I think that's a good idea.
Telegram. Yeah. Like text me, maybe.
Text me, yeah. Text me. Message me.
Huh. Ooh, congratulations.
Congratulations. That's a good one.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's a pretty good... That should
start with it. That's going to cut down on like 85% of it, I bet.
But you know what's nice is like some people still email me, but because Mark's in charge of our email that's connected to like the people reach out to us.
Yeah.
He'll respond like instantly and be like, no, this is a YouTube scam. Like he's probably gotten that so many times.
Oh, okay.
Which is nice, but yeah. But yeah, so like, I don't know. I think it'd be really cool to find a way to give back one of those machines to people. Because let's be honest, your audience is super enthralled with all these builds. And you know that only a small percentage of these people are ever going to do this. And somebody would be thrilled to get one of those machines.
Good point. It's a good point.
And at the very least, you collect people's email.
Yeah.
And even if you don't, you're still giving back to people and it's going to get people fired up.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's a good idea.
So like maybe if you did it, you would take all the ROMs off of it. And then like when you mail it to them or whatever, include, hey, here's the website that I get my ROMs for legal purposes. Yeah. I can't provide them to you.
Yeah.
You can only put the ROMs on that you physically own. Wink, wink, smiley face. you know, something like that.
Yeah. No, that's a great idea.
But if you do that, remember, don't put your address on the return address because you don't want weirdos to know where you live.
Weird stalker. Yeah, true. I've definitely sent out stuff in the past, thankfully, with my return address on it.
I know. I have like a BS address. It's at like a Staples. So if that's where like if a lot PO of times box, even when whatever. Yeah, it's basically a PO box. A lot of times, even when brands want to send me something, if I'm like, I don't know if I really trust you.
Yeah.
I have them go to the PO box.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, if it was like Nike, like I would have them send it to me. But if it's like Joe Schmo's tool company, I'm like, yeah, you get in the P.O. box.
Yeah. I was talking to Scott and Derek last week after we ended the after show, and I had a brand send me a bunch of VR headsets.
Really?
For a potential sponsorship. It's like very early in negotiation, like have not signed a contract like that. And I thought the deal was actually kind of dead in the water because the negotiations hadn't been going very well. And then they just like showed up three VR headsets on my front doorstep the other day. I was like, oh, okay, maybe it is going to happen. We'll see.
Were you just kind of like, was it something Mark was handling and you're just kind of like looking at the emails back and forth?
Exactly. Yeah.
I find that so fun to be a fly on the wall and like see him do his work. Cause like sometimes you're like, whoa, dude, like that was, that was aggressive.
He's definitely gotten a little sassy with companies in the past.
Oh yeah.
Especially when he goes in and he's like, you know, like this is the rate for like, you know, a 30 second integration with Zach. And they're like, oh, that's too expensive. Like nobody's paying that. He'll be like, actually, I just closed 8 deals this week here, 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 here. And this is like the CPM. Uh-huh. It's like,
Yeah. I mean, but that's what you want. Like,
Yeah. Exactly.
So how would you do a VR headset integration? Would it just be a mid-roll ad or would you integrate it into a video or what?
Well, yeah. So here's the thing. This deal, one of the reasons it's like a little tricky is because they want 4-minute long integration in the video, which is substantial, you know, like a 20-minute video, that's 20% of the entire runtime of the video. So what I was thinking to do was to make a portable gaming setup. It's like really small and compact. And then the VR headset is like the TV. It's like, you don't even need a TV. You can enjoy it anywhere. You know, like you essentially have a 100-inch screen strapped to your face, no matter where you go. And then that way I can kind of reference it throughout the video, maybe break up that 4-minute integration into some smaller pieces.
That's not a bad idea.
That's what I did with the N64 video. I didn't do like 90 seconds. It was 90 second integration. I didn't do it all at once. I kind of like talk about the machine for 30 seconds, then go do this other thing for a little bit, come back, talk about the machine for a little bit, go do this other thing, come back, talk about the machine. So it's just like small chunks here and there, but I got all the talking points. And then I, in the audience retention graph, people weren't skipping the ad read.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
And so they weren't upset about that?
No, they were fine with it. I mean, and it made sense in the context of that video because the product was integral to the project. I don't know if it would work so great for, you know, NordVPN or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, it was good. It didn't damage retention. So I was quite happy about that.
I'll have to keep that in mind. VR thing is interesting to me. I wonder if there's a way that you could integrate VR into woodworking.
I know, right? There's a couple cases for it. Yeah, true. Ooh. There's like woodworking simulator and stuff like that for the computer, but I don't think there's anything specifically for VR that would like really.
Oh, there's got to be.
Yeah,
you could think you so? Like VR and then like basically like in the VR environment, like 3D model, like a project or something like that?
There is a program for that. That might be kind of fun. Like make a table in VR with like the, you know, the VR utility and then actually recreate it in real life or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That might be kind of fun. Huh. Yeah, we'll see.
The VR thing's interesting. What? Yeah. And like, this is not a stab whatsoever. It amazes me that you can find more and more and more and more like tech things to iterate off of and build and stuff. Cause in my naive brain, and I'm like, well, I mean, you've made like a retro console. Like what else can you do after that?
Yeah. But, right.
I got this idea. I got this. And that's awesome. Like that's fantastic. I'm just like, I didn't think of any idea, these ideas.
Well, no, but it's one of those things where once you go down a rabbit hole, when you do one, like, you know, like I did the like emulation machine. I was like, okay, well, that's kind of fun. Like, I think I've kind of tapped that out.
Right.
And then I was like, well, what about if I got like an actual original piece of hardware and modified that? So, right. And it's like, it's, I wouldn't have had that idea had I not done the first video.
Right.
Right. So, yeah.
And I mean, it's something you're interested in. You're basically getting paid to just tinker with stuff, which is pretty damn cool.
Exactly. Which is, you know, truthfully suits my personality a little bit better than just doing furniture builds all the time. I still do want to do furniture builds, but I also love to tinker. So the fact that I can actually have people watch videos like that, I'm pretty happy about.
Right. And I mean, like, you probably don't really need furniture right now.
Well, that was the other thing. I was running up against the limit of, like, where the heck do I put all this stuff? So these are, the little consoles are great, you know? Like, I just put them on a shelf in the corner of the room. They hardly take up any space.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I wish with woodworking, like, is there more small stuff that you can create that people find interesting? I think that's the struggle is, like, people want to see you build crazy things.
Yes.
That are super time committing. Yes. And also, like, no one wants this in their house. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm struggling to think of a good example here, but impressive and big projects don't necessarily need to be physically big.
Mm.
It can just be, it can be intricate and small, right?
Mm.
Like, I think there is a market for something like that, but it takes a little bit of creativity to think of the actual project. Like Morley Kurt, I think he used to make puzzle boxes back in the day. Just like really intricate. I think he might have actually been 3D printing them with a wood. They make by the way, I don't know if you know this, but they make like 3D printable wood. It's like, no, it's like PLA, but it has wood fibers.
Okay.
Chewed up and then inserted into the plastic. So it'll actually take a stain and you can sand it.
Really?
It's like half plastic, half wood.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I've been meaning to buy some and mess around with it, but I haven't got to it yet.
Here's what you do. You make a bunch of really tight shots. You'd be like, I'm going to make the world's smallest piece of furniture. You just make a bunch of table saw cuts and then like be like, and here's how it turned out. And you just completely lie and you just 3D print it.
That'd be funny. That'd be really funny.
Oh, that's wild to me, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
So like, I know once I get a house, I'll have so much furniture, beds and dressers and kitchen cabinets and vanities and stuff. But like, you're right now, I don't need anything.
Yeah. I mean, there's always giving it away too, which is a good option, but.
Right.
I mean, that's the part of the reason I did so many speaker projects back in the day. Speakers are like, you know, relatively small, compact.
Right.
They still make for an interesting video, but they don't take up a ton of space when they're done. And you know, you start with your two bookshelf speakers, and then you add a subwoofer, and then you add a center channel and rear channel, so you can like kind of build onto it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's what's it, Derek?
I was gonna say, how's your chessboard coming along? Since you,
oh yeah,
oh is I still done? Haven't. I haven't done anything on the bottom. It's still in the same state.
Did it fully cure while you were on vacation though?
It's fully cured, but the little drip nipples on the bottom are there. This guy is rock solid. I mean, you can see your reflection in it. Like,
yeah,
it's gonna be good. I don't know if the video will do well. I don't know. We'll see.
You it's just all need about to say
on thumbnail.
Yeah, and just also say that you know you sold it for $5,000 or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
You got to cut to a clip of. Of Zach playing VR chess while you're playing
real. Yeah, true.
I'm definitely going to start off the video with something like, you know, a year and a half ago, I made a video that just pissed people off so much. So I decided what I'm going to do is make another video. I'm going to be like, I made this chessboard and it really pissed people off. So what I decided to do was make an even more expensive chessboard to piss people off even more. Like that's going to be something along the lines of like the video starting like that.
Yeah. There was some guy, I don't know if it was in a short form version of the original video you made. Maybe it was in the long form version of it. And some guy was like, no way somebody bought this for $2,500 or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I saw the comments and I was like, oh, I was the guy who bought it for $2,500.
Did you really?
Yeah. He was like, oh, okay. I guess I was wrong then.
Oh, that's too funny. That is too funny. Oh, I haven't looked at that in a long time. The video's doing well, though.
Yeah.
I've got another one of my pallet wood videos is taken off again.
Yeah, wow. Good.
Dude,
I got to make some pallet wood videos.
Pallet wood.
Pallet wood's back, baby.
Yeah. There's plenty of ways. You don't have to do big, giant furniture projects. There's tons of small stuff you can make out of pallet wood.
I know. But then so I was thinking, like, while I'm doing this, like, 10 tools I wish I bought earlier thing, mm-hmm. I'm like writing this down and I'm like, I don't know how people do these videos video after video after video. I'm like, this is boring to write this.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't really interest me that much.
Yes. Yes, Sophie said to me a couple times, like, you spend so much time working on these projects. Why don't you try and do some, like, more simpler talking head videos? And, well, part of the reason I don't do those because, one, I don't think many people would watch them. And two, they're just boring for me, which might relate back to the first reason why nobody watches them, right?
If it's boring to you, then you go edit and you produce the video and, like, you're not really into it. So, like, you don't jazz it up and.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's really low effort to make a 10 tool list video. But my biggest thing is, like, you and I are kind of the same person when you're like, yeah, I mean, that tool, like, you could use that, but you can also do it this way. Like, you don't really need it.
Yeah.
It's like the domino. The domino is great to have, but, like, can you get around it? Absolutely you can.
Of course. Yeah, we don't get weirdly religious about certain tools. Like, people have, like, you know, like, they're religious about how much they love Milwaukee.
Right. Like, if you walk in and you give me all Ryobi tomorrow, I'll be like, great, okay, cool.
You give me all
Craftsman tomorrow, I go, sure.
I'll make it work, but it's going to be a pain in the ass.
Right. Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, if you give me a benchtop jointer versus a Powermatic jointer, am I going to like the Powermatic one more? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if I'm just trying to flatten some wood, is the benchtop jointer going to work? Yeah. Be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right. We just don't care that much about tools. Like, for me, is like, does it accomplish the job it intends to do? If so, great.
Awesome.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, what else do you really want at the end of the day? Like, I don't know. I've never understood brand loyalty and getting like super passionate about things that don't really matter that much.
No, like,
there's a difference between having a preference and being a fanboy,
right?
Exactly, yes,
agreed.
Yeah,
so, like, do I have a preference for Festool, DeWalt, and Milwaukee? Sure,
yeah,
but why? Well, because I already have their battery systems, and I know that in general, they're tools that last really long. If you would come tomorrow and completely outfit my shop with 100%. Ryobi or Craftsman or Black & Decker or Makita or whatever, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It's true.
I don't care what brand it is. If you gave me like their lawnmowers or their chainsaws, their snow blowers, like, I'll take any brand. I don't care. No.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
What lawn are you going to mow?
Hey.
You can go find, just start rowing random lawns.
Walk down the street mowing. Yeah, that would, you know, there's a YouTube channel all about mowing lawns.
He goes around and he mows like random people's lawns that are overgrown and stuff, right?
Yeah, I think I saw one of his like videos made for like, you know how people take YouTubers content, they'll put it on TikTok and split it up into a bunch of parts. I think I saw one of his videos on TikTok.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some weird stuff out there.
I mean, I get it. Watching a lawn be mowed, especially in fast forward, it's pretty satisfying.
Yeah.
See, that's why I almost wish I was in the business of making oddly satisfying content. But at the same time, like, I don't think I would enjoy making that.
No. And also, like, I would have a really hard time knowing what would hit big.
Yeah.
Knowing what people, other people find oddly satisfying is like, that's a specific skill that I don't have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess just during these times where I'm like, oh crap, I got to pump out videos. I got to do this. I got to do this. I'm like, huh. But I guess what I'm saying is I sometimes I'll get myself in this mindset. I'm like, how much longevity is in this? But I mean, yeah. I remember thinking that from like when I was like 5 videos in, I'm like, man, there's no way I'm going to find more videos. But then you do.
And you do.
But then I know that once, like I said, once I get a house, like I'll be like, oh my God, there's endless content there.
Yeah. But you might also get in a weird position where, so I think reason why these 10 tool video people get in that groove and they just keep making those videos,
right,
is because you develop an audience for them and you have an audience that expects things. So you might do a couple home renovation videos that don't perform very well on your channel.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, do I do more of them, or do I go back to woodworking projects, or do I do more 10 tool videos?
I don't know. You never know.
There's always an interplay between what you want to do and what the audience will watch, and trying to bridge the gap between the two.
But if I ever get to the point where like I genuinely just hate all of the videos that I'm making, I'm not doing that, because then we're getting away from the entire reason that we started doing this, is to make money doing something that we love doing, right?
Yeah. But what about if you're just making oodles and oodles of cash?
I honestly, at that point, I would just take the cash and like hire someone else to do it for me, right?
True. That's why you always see these TV presenters and stuff like that, and you always hear that they're just big jerks off air.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, oh, like, that's a dream job. Like, you just go in, you do like 2 hours of interviews every day, and you make oodles and oodles of cash. But when I hear that there are jerks off the air, I'm always like, they must not really like that. They must not really enjoy that job.
I mean, think of like if you were Pat Sajak, the host of Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Let's be real. I mean, how long has he been doing that show? 40 years?
Yeah.
And you know that they probably record one day a week, but that has to be miserable.
That's got to suck.
To just go in.
They record it all over the summer. They just cram it all in.
Yeah.
In like 2 months, they record everything.
2 months or something like that, yeah. Bring that energy every day, though. That big smile and that skinny mic in front of your head. I don't know.
That would be like debilitatingly boring to do that.
I think so.
Well,
I heard somewhere that what's his name, Alex Trebek, in his time, he was a garage carpenter.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And he'd go home and hand tools. He loved hand tools.
Well, that's like Jay Leno. He was like a big car guy. Like, he was just constantly restoring cars when he wasn't hosting the late night show or whatever the hell it was.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
See, I need to get another hobby.
Yeah. You need to get a hobby that you don't have a YouTube channel about.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, if you weren't landlocked, I'd say scuba diving.
Scuba diving.
Oh, yeah, I guess you kind of did.
Fucking hobby, man. That's the explicit alert if I didn't already get one.
Right there. I want to make a car YouTube channel so I can start writing off car-related expenses, not because I want to make car content.
Well, I know you were going to do the F-150 Lightning. You're going to do a bunch of like tech stuff around that.
Yeah, but now I'm thinking I'm not going to take the Lightning.
Yeah, and I know it's been a whole thing.
It's been a whole thing, yeah. Long-time listeners know what's up.
What are we talking about? We're talking about, I have a segue. We're talking about things that are debilitatingly boring, like the Green Suitors podcast, available on Apple and Spotify.
But that is a segue and a half.
I know. I don't have a segue to the after show, so all I'm going to say is we'll see you in the after show.
See ya.